Sorry about that, I knocked it and it went off. Hello everybody, it's some ridiculous o'clock here in the UK and I am up. I wanted to just read you a story I wrote about my ex-husband's, one of his guide dogs. I wrote it, 10 or 11 years ago. My friend, who's deafblind and lives in the UK, was given a small grant by the lottery fund and she set up a magazine in Braille for deafblind readers. Well, not deafblind readers, deafblind people, because they didn't have always necessarily have such good access to IT. I think they do more now. And I wrote quite a few articles for her. So it wasn't a published magazine, so there is no copyright issue. I'm sure it's long been disposed of anyway. I've still got copies on my hard drive, I think. But anyway, I thought I'd just read it to you because, I've lost page one. I've written it out in Braille because it is on my... That's a good start. They're only the small Braille pages. I've lost page one. It must be here somewhere. Okay. Oh, here it is. How did it get there? It's next to page nine. Okay, nine. Don't worry, it's not that long. It's just because it's on small paper. And it's called O. Thomas. Oh, and by the way, it's recently come to light because my ex-husband asked me if he could send it to the border of his new guide dog that he trained with a couple of months ago. So I said yes, and apparently now it's doing the rounds of the London borders. And he said, I hope to God it doesn't get into the hands of guide dogs. And I said, oh, well, never mind. It's a bit late to worry about it now. So anyway, it's doing the rounds. O. Thomas. I should like to take a few minutes to tell you about Thomas. Thomas is a Labrador Golden Retriever cross and was guide dog to my husband, Eamon, for 9 years between 1990 and 1999. He is now living out his retirement with an elderly couple in Buckinghamshire. During his time with Eamon, Thomas worked at several locations in London, which involved negotiating extremely busy and varied conditions on a daily basis. His work was second to none. It was, in fact, his saving grace as far as I was concerned, because living with Thomas was not always easy, as you are about to find out. When Thomas first came to us, I thought he seemed somewhat subdued and a little quiet for a young dog. But I guess this was merely a ploy to lull us into a false sense of security before he dropped the real bombshell of his character. However, once he had settled in and begun to find his feet, he developed a very disconcerting habit of slipping out of the front door when we opened it to visitors. He would literally vanish into thin air without anyone ever seeing him go. On a number of occasions, we did not miss him at all until he returned, foot weary and worn out, seemingly from a leisurely jaunt to the woods, as he was invariably plastered in mud or something far worse. We finally became wise to this trick, however, although not before one grand finale. We had just settled down in bed one night, and I was about to drift off to sleep, when far in the distance, or was it in my dreams, I thought I heard Thomas barking. There it was again. I sat bolt upright, rubbed my eyes and strained my ears. Yes, it was unmistakably Thomas, and it sounded as if he was shut in somewhere, unable to escape. So I roused Eamon, who was not best pleased, and then the search began. We first off checked the whole house to make sure he was not playing any tricks on us, but there was no sign of him. So we donned our dressing gowns and slippers and ventured out into the back garden, feeling a right pair of idiots. By this time the barking had ceased altogether, and we were becoming more and more puzzled as the plot thickened. Thus we made our way into the street and started to call him. After a few minutes, a neighbour appeared from across the road. He had obviously heard us calling and blowing a whistle. It was, after all, well past midnight. and so he joined in the hunt. Thomas was eventually tracked down to our next-door neighbour's closed-in passageway. The house had stood empty for several months as the previous owner had died and her daughter was in the process of trying to sell the property. How he came to be in there and how long he had been gone, we never did find out. Suffice it to say, he was none the worse for his adventure, his last of that nature, but he had definitely been in at dinner time. Ah, now, that brings me nicely to the next part of the story. It is well known that all labs and lab types love food. That goes without saying. Some, however, have more self-control and manners than others. Thomas had neither, and he was also particularly devious in his dealings. It would take up 3 editions of this magazine to give you chapter and verse of the scrapes he got us into over the years, but I will tell you of some of them. So, where exactly do I start? Would it be the time when my mum came round for lunch, which we thoroughly enjoyed, and were hoping to round off with a nice freshly made doughnut from the baker's up the road? But when she got there, her trolley was bare. There was the empty paper bag, seemingly untouched, without a wrinkle or a crumple, except that it was completely empty. And where was Thomas? Sound asleep in his bed, of course. Where else? And who said you can't eat a doughnut without licking your lips? I doubt whether those even touch the sides. You've heard the expression, the dinner's in the dog. Well, on this particular afternoon, it was more like a whole buffet. We were expecting relatives for a slap-up Sunday tea. Everything was beautifully laid out on the tables, and we were upstairs getting changed. I was actually in the bath when I heard the tinkle of a plate. Eamon flew downstairs, only to discover that Thomas had beaten us to it. The array had been completely decimated, and all that was left of our efforts were a few crisps and some crumpled serviettes. I might add that this was some years ago, before many shops were open on a Sunday, so we had the devil's own job trying to replace any of it before our guests arrived. When out free running, Thomas could sniff out a barbecue or picnic at around 300 yards and would just make a beeline for it. He would literally take off like a rocket. Amos was once jogging with a friend in a London park one warm summer's evening after work, and Thomas was trotting alongside them until he spotted a couple eating McDonald's some way off, and the next thing Eamon knew was that he was having to cough up for replacement burgers. Thomas had a very long neck and could reach to the back of a cooker or worktop without any trouble whatsoever, and the plate or pan would not appear to have been moved an inch. When staying with a friend in Banbury, he once helped himself to the remains of a chili con carne which had been left on a back burner overnight. He consumed half a roast chicken in Swindon and a whole Christmas pudding when staying with the in-laws in Sussex. I think it would be true to say that we were probably blacklisted from at least one home in every county. His escapade in Bath, however, has to be among the worst disgraces of them all. We were staying there with some friends for the weekend. Although a very close old school friend, Isabel and her husband, Richard, are not what you would term doggy people. They more tolerated our dogs because we needed them, rather than because they liked them. Well, so it happened that we were sat out in the garden all one beautiful summer's afternoon. It must have been around 5:30 when the next-door neighbour called at the house to inquire as to whether we were missing anything. Well, all the children were there. Yes, you've guessed it, it was Thomas. He had slipped through a whisker's breadth gap in the back garden hedge, stolen into their kitchen, and was caught helping himself to chips from the kitchen table. Then he sat there to be fed by the children, much to their absolute delight, we were led to believe. He was retrieved and marched home forthwith, and not given any dinner. Not that he needed it, you understand, but a dessert may have been rather a good idea. Just the thing. Isabel, out of the kindness of her heart, had baked a lovely chocolate cake. We had all sampled a small piece after tea, and being unused to dogs, and especially unused to Thomas, she had unwittingly left it out on the dining room table. She was somewhat perplexed, therefore, to discover an empty plate, thinking one of the children had helped themselves. Ah, but I forgot to mention the name of the cake. It was rather aptly called a hideaway cake. It could not have been more accurately named in the circumstances, could it, as Thomas had it well hidden away once and for all. Easter was a particularly fruitful time of the year for Thomas. During his last Easter with us, he polished off the two largest Easter eggs in the house. And before you start telling me that chocolate is poisonous to dogs, firstly, this was milk chocolate, which is less harmful, and secondly, any dog that can eat a disposable nappy, contents and all, in its entirety and have no ill effects, is not going to balk at a little bit of chocolate, is he? His last Christmas with us was somewhat of a disaster, and his greed hit an all-time low. We had bought in the usual turkey and a large gammon joint, which were both cooked and stored on the lowest shelf in the fridge. We were out during the evening of Christmas Day, leaving Thomas and my then guide dog Hudson, a novice at this game, at home. When we returned, we discovered the fridge door wide open and most of the content, including the meat, had completely disappeared. Hudson had a diarrhea all night, and I foolishly, as he had never before blotted his copybook, blamed him for eating the lion's share. But why was it suddenly that Thomas was drinking whole bowls of water at a time and churning out such gut-wrenching aromas? Fortunately, it was a Sunday the following day, and the shops did open on Sunday by this stage in Thomas's career. Lucky for him, really, or he may have ended up on a plate himself. Thomas, oh Thomas, even the week before he left us, he helped himself to our lunchtime pasties. We never really did learn our lesson with him. We have no door to our kitchen, but a simple device such as a baby gate would have prevented much gut ache on his part, no doubt, and much heartache on ours. Unfortunately, we only discovered this after he left us, when we erected one in order to prevent our younger son from toddling into the kitchen. Mind you, knowing Thomas, he would probably have risen to the occasion and cleared it with ease. We hear every so often how he is doing in his new home. His owners have had labs all their lives, but have confided in us that they have never had such a terrible thief as Thomas. And we did warn them. He was issued with a health and safety warning. I should think so too, as our most recent update, last Christmas, indicated that he had not been feeling too well after consuming a rather large lump of marzipan and a dozen raw eggs. I rather think the Christmas cake was in the dog this time. Oh, Thomas, there will never be another dog quite like Thomas. N.B. Since I wrote the story, we have learnt that Thomas has now sadly passed away. Farewell, old friend, and rest in peace, though tales of you will never cease. You're too right, they won't. They never have. Pause recording.